This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line. Hanging out with you guys here on the DraftKings Network. We say hello to everybody watching us here on the DraftKings Network. You can watch us on Samsung TV Plus, Zumo Play, and Roku for our friends over there that want to go and live the Fire Stick lifestyle. So we welcome you guys. It's been a fun first hour. We do have a fun second hour on deck. 30 minutes from now, Randy Mueller, former NFL general manager, he will join us to break down the NFL trade deadline, which is coming up on Halloween. Will there be a trick or treat under the microscope here for the trade deadline? I had to do the trick or treat joke, and it was horrendous. So, but we'll just continue to move on, though. But Randy Mueller will join us, and we'll break down which teams do need to make some moves at the deadline that is coming up on Tuesday. But let's start, Mike, here. Femi Benfe, Mike Palm, by the way, here hanging out with you guys at the Circa Resort and Casino. Let's start with the news that we just got in the NFL with a veteran quarterback who has been ruled out. We thought that it was trending this way early in the week, but now it is official. Ryan Tannehill has been ruled out by the Tennessee Titans for Sunday's game against the Atlanta Falcons. Tennessee coming off of the bye. It will be Will Levis who starts, and also we'll sprinkle in some Malik Willis as well here, as we're going to get a seventh rookie quarterback starting in the NFL, and we're only on week eight.
Well, that will make the game interesting to watch Will Levis play. That gives you an angle. If there's anybody that's not going to play for Atlanta, you won't know until halfway through the game because Art Smith just doesn't care.
I do not like him.
He's really arrogant, isn't he?
Very much so. What have you done to be like, he's like,
your fantasy team.
Do you want to talk foreign policy? Do you want to talk about what's going on in the world? Like, how about climate change? I'm like, dude, kick rocks, bro. You're 4-3, man. You haven't won, I was about to swear. You haven't won anything. But anyway.
They have to get fined. I mean, he wasn't even on the report.
No.
To say he had questionable, right? Or probable. However you want to list him, there was no indication he had debilitating migraines. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, and then to act like that. Like
Scottie Pippen in game seven against the Pistons.
So, I played Atlanta already in this spot. I just think they have these lines of winnable games in front of them. You know, I worry a little bit that he doesn't use Bijan enough. I mean, he's got the guy that's averaging 5.5 yards a carry. And the weapons around him, around Ridder, I mean, as they stay with Ridder, are very good. Now, I know the offensive line isn't great, but the skilled players are very, very good. Yeah. And you get another spot here. You're going to go up against Levis or even better, Willis. Another spot where Atlanta can just keep checking the box and winning these games and getting a home playoff game as the South champs.
Yeah, I mean, by rule, someone has to host a home playoff game from that division. Atlanta appears to be in the driver's seat, but I just don't know if I could get there to be laying points on the road with Desmond Ridder. Now, he's played better in the last couple of weeks despite the turnovers. Had another one last week fumbling the ball into the end zone there for a touchback.
Three fumbles.
Yeah, we don't need to get into touchbacks.
I forgot.
We can't do that.
Greatest rule.
The best rule in sports. but it's just, I can't trust this guy to be laying points. Like, last week, three-point dog, cool. You can back Desmond Ridder. Now, look, because it looks like we're headed towards Falcons 3-point favorites. All the 2.5s are juiced pretty heavily, minus 120. There's even some minus 115s out there. Like, it appears we're heading towards three by kickoff once we find out who's starting the quarterback. It sounds like it'll be Will Levis. Even with that, I think it's Titans or pass for me.
Really?
I think so. I don't want to lay points with a team that has failed to execute in the red zone. I know defensively they're good, but it's still Desmond Ridder who hasn't started 17 games. So he's technically still kind of like a rookie as well, an inexperienced quarterback. And what if Will Levis is just better than him? I mean, that's also a possibility as well. Like, just because we haven't seen Levis doesn't mean that he can't be decent.
Is Tennessee better than them? I don't know, even if Levis is okay. I know we're going to talk about trade deadline and obviously Derrick Henry's a lot of the talk about which teams could use him right now and are his days in Tennessee numbered. I don't know what there is to like out of this Tennessee team. They played one game that caught my eye all year, and that's that Cincinnati game that got away from Cincinnati early, and then it was just an avalanche. But outside of that, they haven't been good enough. And so I get your point. You don't want to lay with Ridder on the road. He did just come off a road win, although Todd Bowles made sure they got a minute left to come down and win that game.
That's still unbelievable. I don't know.
What are they doing there? He had two running clocks and they're hurrying up to the line. I mean, either you win it with the touchdown or you kick a field goal on the last play.
Go to overtime.
Art Smith wasn't calling timeouts there. They were still outside the red zone, you know?
It's like, at least, like, if you're Todd Bowles, it's like, either I want to win or at least get the game to overtime. Mm-hmm. And he ended up losing in regulation. So that tells you where things are going in Tampa Bay. Let's go to another game. But this one, I think, is really interesting in the NFC North. I think for most people to look at this point spread and say, wow, how are the Vikings not favored by more? Minnesota right now is a 1.5 point favorite at Lambeau Field, total of 42. I talked with you. I thought that this might make for an awesome teaser leg, potentially getting Green Bay up to 7.5, needing the Vikings to win by more than a possession, which is something that they haven't even been able to do even last year when they were winning games. They play all one score games here. But how do you break this one down here? Vikings at the Packers.
I played the Packers last week in Denver, you know, so I'm a little bitter. I'm a little jaded. Yeah. I guess is it a buy low spot on the pack? I don't know. I can't back the Packers until I've seen something more out of Love. You know, all of a sudden, Minnesota's kind of got their hat in the ring here. They pick up another win. They're playing, and then, you know, they could get their way into a wild card here, which, again, we'll talk about. Is Cousins somebody? Are you going to re-sign Cousins, or you can get some value for Cousins right now off a Monday night win over San Francisco, where he played pretty well? I feel like the Vikings righted a ship on a season that was going to be a total disaster and now have in grasp here to get themselves back into the playoff picture against a team that's obviously inferior to San Francisco. It is a short week, but Green Bay comes off of playing at elevation, which is usually a negative factor, if anything. So I pass this game.
Yeah, no, the Minnesota Vikings, when you look at the playoff picture, the quote-unquote, if the season ended today, it doesn't, we all get it, but they're currently the seventh seed in the NFC, so they're right back into it, to where a couple weeks ago when Justin Jefferson goes down with the hamstring injury, we thought that, all right, well, maybe they'll just put him on ice, maybe they'll trade Cousins, maybe they'll bottom out and tank for Caleb or Drake May or one of these other quarterbacks, but now they find themselves once again in the thick of things here in the NFC, which is a weak NFC in terms of that seven seed spot. I feel like a lot of people feel comfortable that Seattle will probably get into the playoffs, Dallas will probably get into the playoffs as a wild card, but the seven seed, I mean, you're talking about the Vikings, the Rams, the Giants, the Commanders, like the Buccaneers are in that mix, the New Orleans Saints. It's not a group of good teams. This is a group of bad teams. So Minnesota definitely has as good a chance as anybody to steal that spot here. But I just think that this is a good chance to fade a team off of like winning a massive game as a home underdog against one of the best teams in the league, to where, like, I don't want to bet Green Bay to just win like the current point spread, betting the plus 1.5 or betting money line. I think I'd rather just tease the game to 7.5. Just get a home dog. Cause you would think that Green Bay offensively, with Aaron Jones now back for a couple weeks, could be a little bit more explosive because he is their best player. And it seemed like last week he was sort of on a pitch count against the Broncos.
I get it. I mean, when's the last time they won by double digits, to your point?
Minnesota? Yeah. It's been a while.
I'd have to go back and look at the schedule because I don't even know what they did.
That game might be on the History Channel by this point.
They did in Carolina this year when they won that game. So I get it. You can get this thing up over 7. So yeah. I'll be rooting for you.
How about another one? A home dog that you might be able to tease as well. Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. Steelers 2.5 point underdogs at home. The total is sitting at 41. We were talking about this during the break a little bit, is that how do the Pittsburgh Steelers keep doing this? Like, I'm not sure they're good, but they're 4-2. And Tomlin looks like he's on his way to another winning season, at least.
It's smoke and mirrors. And I keep making the argument. They shouldn't have beat Cleveland. How did Harbaugh blow the Baltimore game to him? Right. I mean, all these arguments you make about why this team really should be 1-5. Well, they're 4-2.
Yeah.
Okay. And they just came off a road win. And now they get to come home in a tough place to play against, you know, as Pritch said, an underachieving Jaguars team, but yet they're 5-2 and they've, you know, won 13 of 16 regular season games and, you know, had Kansas City in a spot where they could have beat them in the playoffs at Arrowhead. So it's interesting. This game reeks of another ugly Pittsburgh win, though. And I would not lay, but look at taking the points here.
Is there a chance that Pittsburgh might be this year's Minnesota Vikings from last year? Like, to where, like, it just doesn't make any sense and they keep just winning these one score games.
Except they have a pedigree of being able to be better than that and a consistent winner. So the variance isn't an aberration to what they do as an organization. I drew the comparison to like Pittsburgh is like Iowa. You know, they hang around. Their defense and special teams win these games. They don't kill themselves with mistakes. Hayden Fry changed the Iowa colors when he came in 1979 because he wanted to create a winning philosophy there, attitude, and change to the Steelers' colors. So that's why Iowa has those colors. But this division is so unbelievable to me. I mean, you know, there's no weak spots in this division. None.
And this is a really important game because when you look at the schedule, we have it up for our viewing audience, but for our listeners, I'll go ahead and list it off here. Pittsburgh right now at 4-2. If they were to beat Jacksonville, I'd get their short home dog, but let's say they win this game, they'll be 5-2. Their next two games, home against the Titans, home against the Packers. Like this could be 7-2 here a few weeks from now.
And even if you say you go 7-2 and then you lose in Ohio twice, then you get back to Patriots Cardinals at home and you're 9-4. I mean, so
Indy on the road against Minshew.
What's their price right now to make the playoffs in season? If you could find that, Elliott, I think that's a very interesting.
Yeah, let me take a look at this. I'll be able to find this before break. The Pittsburgh Steelers right now to make the playoffs, they are sitting at -110. So it's -110.
They look like a 10-7 team, and possibly 11-6.
Updated win totals 9.5 at DraftKings. Yeah. So
I would go over.
They are set up pretty well, I think, to go on a run. But it all starts with this game on Sunday. Like, they got to get this game to then, all right, a few weeks from now, we could be talking about 7-2 Pittsburgh. And then at that point, maybe then you can go ahead and buy an adjusted win total under if you want to do that, if it gets up to like 10.5, 11.5 or something like in that range. But Pittsburgh in an advantageous spot, but we'll see what happens Sunday afternoon as a 2.5 point dog. All right, we'll be back on the other side with some teaser talk here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of the year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and you'll get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. And it includes daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Only $120 and you get all of that stuff. That is an unbelievable deal. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, joining us in 15 minutes. Randy Mueller, former NFL general manager, will help us break down the trade deadline and what he thinks of a couple of these marquee matchups that we have in week 8. But let's talk a little bit of teasers. And we discussed it a little bit last segment here, but I want to kind of break it down further here because I think this could be a good week to tease.
Oh, it's a great week to tease.
It's a fantastic one. I mean, I usually don't tease early in the week, but Sunday night I put some Buffalo teasers in. So we at least have those legs in, and we've teased it with the Baltimore Ravens down to 2. And then also the Chargers, I went with Staley down to 2.5.
How about the Lions on Monday night? You haven't used them yet in the teaser?
I like the Raiders in the game.
You think the Raiders will win straight up in the game?
I don't think they're going straight up.
I think they're going to lose by one or two.
I like the 8.5. I don't like teasing against game like games that, like, that I took points in. Right. I'm like, I'm shooting for trying to thread the needle here and all that stuff with a big price. Like, I didn't really like that, but I do like the Raiders +8.5.
Did you downgrade the Lions that much off the performance in Baltimore?
No, I don't downgrade them. I think
you upgrade the Raiders off the performance in Chicago.
I think the market downgraded the Raiders off the performance in Chicago, but that was with their backup quarterback. That game was with Hoyer and O'Connell. Now it is with Jimmy Garoppolo. And like with Jimmy Garoppolo, they haven't been rated this poorly against. I mean, Detroit is really good, but the Raiders were 8-point dogs or 7-point dogs against Buffalo on the road, and now they're supposed to be 10 against Detroit. Like, is Detroit are they power rated better than Buffalo?
I think they're better than Buffalo.
Well, I mean, I think that's your, but I mean, from a power rating standpoint, I mean, look at the Super Bowl odds. You know, that'll tell you that Buffalo is the higher power rated team.
What's the odds on Buffalo now? Detroit was 14-1 before they went into Baltimore and
got shellacked.
Like every NFC team gets whacked by the COVID kid Lamar Jackson, okay? COVID kid. Meanwhile, they're really good. Baltimore's really good, Femi. that team.
They are good.
No, and they're healthy. They were healthy, and Detroit didn't have any running backs, and they put pressure on Goff. They never let him get comfortable. But that looked like they were playing a Division III team. I mean, that first half was the most dominating first half of football I've seen a team play all year.
First four drives, touchdown, touchdown, yeah. Touchdown, touchdown.
And they'd get it's first and 20. They had hold it, no problem. Here's 18 yards. Every time Detroit made a play, the next play they'd get 20 and get a first down. Yeah. They could never get him off the field.
So to your point, in the Super Bowl market, Buffalo 14-1 after last night's win. Detroit 15-1. So maybe the market is now saying that they're rated similarly.
Similar.
So maybe that's where we sit here. I disagree, though. So I went ahead and took the 8.5 there. I think with Jimmy Garoppolo, we get a better showing from the Las Vegas Raiders. Because like, everyone's like, oh, it's a bounce back for Detroit. Like, the Vegas Raiders just got they got drilled in Chicago. Like, why can't it be a bounce back for them? Like, they're not allowed to bounce back? Only one team?
You would say, well, they get to go home where they play so well. They did. They give 180 points to Seattle every year when they're at home. I mean, I don't know that that's that big of a home field advantage for Detroit. That's one of the things when you go and you try to evaluate the futures on it. You know, it's I would say, one of the lower third home field advantages in the league.
I wouldn't be scared. If the Niners had to go to Detroit, lay it.
Yeah. Philly too.
Yeah,
I feel the same way.
Yeah, sorry to Lions fans. I know they're around here a lot of the time. over at the D, where I do the Sunday show, it's a Lions watch party out there.
Well, we've had it because before Circa was ever, you know, the D is one of the things it stands for is Detroit. So we always prioritize the Lions game with the audio for many, many years there. So we cultivated that following.
It was the roars were not as loud last Sunday. I'll put it that way. Usually it's loud, not last Sunday. But let's talk some teasers in the NFL. So you like the Lions as a teaser leg this week?
I do.
That's a spot that you would look
at? I like it better than the Chargers on Sunday night, which everybody will. I think you'll see that Sunday Monday combination a lot from the from better
side. Primetime teaser.
Mm-hmm.
Are you back in the secret Bajent man?
Maybe it's my anti Fields bias that making me feel better about
you've upgraded. Them.
Well, the team looked like they had some purpose to it, and some I have to write the guy's name down on Twitter that did this film breakdown about how much quicker he gets back at a 5 and 7 step drop than Fields, which gives him obviously more time. And I thought he was effective with his legs. Obviously, it's a short sample size, and now they have tape on him playing in the NFL, not, you know, for Shepherd College, you know, against the Colorado School of Mines or whatever. But the kids got a lot of confidence. They just seemed, you know, and the Raiders were lethargic, to your point with Hoyer. They were just, you know, I thought maybe McDaniels get fired at halftime. I mean, it was just... They looked so bad, right? I mean, it was an kind of embarrassing performance, I thought, at least in the first half in that game. So I can't get by Staley. You can't get me to take the Bears with point. You remember, I bet the Bears every which way you can under this year. So you're not going to tell me. Their lines are still bad. They have a bad O-line, a bad D-line. You can't get around that. So, I mean, if Staley were to lose this game,
I think he's done.
Spanos is cheap and they don't want to. He's got to go.
I think he's done. Because like this is a national televised game, Sunday Night Football. If they lose this game and all of social media is just killing Brandon Staley, because they're not going to kill Herbert. Herbert's safe. He's safe.
He gets 12 years.
He's a made man. He's a made man despite zero playoff wins.
He won the Rose Bowl.
I guess he has a big win somehow. Yeah. But no playoff wins. And he gave up a 27-point lead, by the way. But that's neither here nor there. Staley's going to get the wrath if they lose this game. It's over for him. So I went ahead and teased it. So I have them at 2.5 paired with Buffalo from last night. So hopefully that is able to get home.
Would you use him if you were still alive in Survivor and you had the choice? Let's say you're not going to use Philadelphia. You're not going to use Dallas because of you're not going to, right?
Detroit Thanksgiving.
Detroit. So you're not going to use those teams. Who would you use this week? Would you use, if you had the Chargers and the Ravens still available as choices? You're not going to use Kansas City. Let's say you're holding them for Christmas as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at the big favorites. Would you go in with the Chargers?
Because there's so many people still left, and the Seahawks, by the way, got everybody home last week here. If I had Seattle available, I think this is the week I'd play Seattle.
You would against Cleveland.
I would against Cleveland.
That's interesting.
Against a backup quarterback at home.
Yep.
Just because, like, I mean, there's so many people left. I wouldn't want to lose with the masses. Like, that's been my whole theme with Survivor.
You did. You were always zigging.
I was always zigging. Yep. I think you zig until we get down to, like, I don't know.
We did lose a third of the field. We lost a third of the field last week. It was amazing.
Who was
down to 1,200?
Oh, the Bills did him in.
But there were a little chunk plays too. I mean, Tampa. One of the guys that had 10, all 10 on Tampa last week. So now there's seven that still have seven that still have 10 left. But it was just a little chunk, and a lot of road teams. It was surprising. The Raiders, people had the Raiders at the Bears, even with the backup quarterback. So somehow we lost like 550 entries last week. So we're down to 1,200.
That's crazy. To answer your question though, like if I had to choose among the big favorites, I think I would go Chargers because I wouldn't want them at any other point in the season.
Yeah, Amal said that too. And he said, and I want to be able to use Baltimore later. So
I think you can trust Baltimore a little bit more and there's more spots to kind of pick and choose. And also I think backing Baltimore now, like I get it, like there's a good chance they're going to win. I have them a teaser. I think they're going to win the game, but I just would be a little bit uncomfortable putting my survivor ticket on a team that's coming off like a 99th percentile victory against Detroit. Like that's about as good as Baltimore is ever going to play. And I just wouldn't want to use my survivor play on a team like the week after they go ahead and perform that way.
Remember a few years ago on a Monday night, they went and played the Rams.
Oh, and they destroyed them.
Yeah, it reminded me of that game where they just scored a touchdown every time they touched the ball.
That was the night that Lamar pretty much locked up MVP. Mm-hmm. Like I think it was like 40-something to like 6 or something like that.
And the Rams were like catching 4, and everybody was on the Rams at home. We're going to catch 4. And
home dog in prime time.
That was Goff Jackson, the first version.
We should have known.
Yeah, we should have known.
How did we not bring this up last week? The Lamar versus Goff trend. Lamar's just going to drill his team once again. What do you think of the home dogs? Because I like the Packers as a teaser. Pittsburgh, would you tease them? Or do you think that this kind of this Cinderella run can have a messy ending?
Maybe I wouldn't mind teasing them.
Okay.
I think they have a good shot to win the game. Would you? Well, the game's at 3 already, so you wouldn't.
Well, what about?
I like the Giants in this game. I'm talking myself into the Giants. I'm probably going to use them in the contest.
Take a money line. I mean, honestly, I'd say take the 3 as well, but also put a little bit on the money line. Yeah. Would you use any like the non-traditional teasers? I know, I get it. Wong teasers tease through 3 and like we get it.
Yeah.
But like, would you ever tease Kansas City? Like, how does Denver win outright? Like, I like Denver. I took +8.5 Sunday night, but how does Denver actually win the game?
I don't know. I mean, we saw this version of this game before.
Like and, 2.5 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah. And Denver didn't move the ball until late in the game, right? They were dominated and somehow they got a score and that they don't win the game. They're not winning the game. So I don't mind that as well. I mean, there's a lot of games you could tease. Will the Cowboys get to 6.5 or 7? You could tease them if they did at that point too. So we haven't got to your thoughts on your team yet this week.
Fresh off the bye.
Seems like they haven't played in a month.
It does feel like that. But you know what? I'm glad for that because I'm tired of them embarrassing me in public.
Oh, God. Come on. It's never personal.
Hey, Monday night against the Chargers, if they lost that game, it would have been personal.
they had a penalty on like 11 straight plays, I think.
Yeah. So we're still trying to clean it up after 2021. Randy Mueller joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 to pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm here hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino and joining us now to break down the NFL and the trade deadline that is approaching quickly Tuesday afternoon. We're bringing in Randy Mueller, former NFL general manager, was an executive of the year in 2000 and has a podcast over at The Athletic, the Football GM podcast. We encourage everybody to go ahead and check that out. Randy, we appreciate you joining us here this morning. Once again, you recently wrote a column about the 5 deals that you would like to see at the trade deadline here. And I want to ask you about the quarterback one because I thought this was fascinating. It really jumped out to me. You think that some teams should be a little bit proactive and go out and maybe try to find a potential future QB?
Well, I don't think it's for everybody, but I do think if you had someone you felt really good about last year during the draft and you had no way to acquire him, I always think regardless of position, you go back and look at your notes and make sure there's, you know, a need at one position, but it's a chance to get a jump on next year. And in the article you're talking about, I mentioned Hendon Hooker, who was a third round pick of the Lions, who I actually loved coming out of the draft last year. We all know he has an ACL injury. He's not going to play this year. So it's a little bit of a luxury, but you might be able to acquire him because the fact is Jared Goff's going to get re-signed. He's played really good for the Lions. So kind of looking ahead a little bit, Hooker may be expendable. There's no reason that Detroit would have to trade him, that's for sure. But Sometimes you make it a little better offer than what they had given to get him. You might get a bite on the other end.
Randy, I want to talk about a couple of the big names that are out there and what you think are the actual likelihood they get moved. And from the quarterback perspective, Kirk Cousins, is Minnesota going to sign him after the year? Are they willing to move him now on a team that looks like it could be in the playoffs? It would be if it started today and if you look at their schedule. And then obviously the other one, Derrick Henry in Tennessee.
Well, I think starting with Cousins, I don't think he gets moved. I just don't think it makes sense. One, for one thing, he has a no trade clause in his contract. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that he's going to want to go somewhere else from a business standpoint, learn a new offense, put at risk his marketability at a place that he's unsure of. If nothing else, we've learned that he is a disciplined, somewhat square personality that doesn't do great with change. And so I don't think he's ever going to sign off on a deal that's going to take him on a wild goose chase across the country when he's going to be an impending free agent in 2.5 months. I just don't see that happening, nor do I think his representation agency would ever think that's a good idea. The other option is, or the other thing is, Minnesota has no options. They don't have a backup. They don't have a plan for the future. So I think you're going to see Kirk Cousins ride it out and stay with Minnesota the rest of the year. I think in Derrick Henry's case, he makes some sense for Tennessee to move. We've already seen Tennessee move off of Kevin Baird, one of their leaders on defense and a giant voice in the locker room. I think they're in a little bit of a betwixt between mode of a retool and trying to make Mike Vrabel happy and that he wants to win right now. I think a guy like Derrick Henry in this day and age of 7-on-7 offenses, I think he comes into a particular locker room. Let's just say maybe a Cleveland or a Baltimore where they want to run the ball, where an offensive line is in place, like in Cleveland. He's a closer. He's a really good downhill physical presence. Some of these teams have gotten a little soft, I think would be benefit from adding a guy like Derrick Henry. Now, his cap number is a little bit problematic, but it's only half of what it was when the season started. And as we all know, we can do some cap gymnastics to find room for things that we really want.
We're hanging out here with Randy Mueller, former NFL general manager, was the executive of the year in 2000. Now has a podcast, the Football GM podcast, over at The Athletic. Well, Randy, you mentioned Minnesota and Kirk Cousins, how, hey, he has a no trade clause that wouldn't trade him. What about Danielle Hunter, their pass rusher, who leads the league in sacks right now? If you were Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the general manager of the Vikings, now that your team is back into the wild card race after Monday night's win, like, how do you sort of navigate these next 5 days? Like, do you still trade Hunter if the right offer appears? Or is it off the boards and you kind of go ahead and move forward to maybe make a playoff run?
Well, I don't think you can be swayed by one or two games, Femi. I think you know your team really well as a GM and you don't really trade based on your record. I do think in his case, and Danielle Hunter has been a good player and as you mentioned, leads the league in sacks this year. His contract is about the most convoluted, issue-oriented deal I've ever seen. There is tons of dead money available or that the Vikings are going to have to take on when they do move him. There is some benefit to this year trading him as opposed to waiting a year from now. He's going to have a giant number that's going to count against the Vikings, whether he's with them or not in the future. Having said that, I think there'll be a lot of teams that want him. If he walks, there'll be a compensatory pick available, probably a third round pick, but they won't get that for a year removed. So they wouldn't get that until 2025. If someone were to offer me something like the Broncos got for Von Miller a couple of years ago, maybe it's a 2 and a 3 or a 3 and a 2, I'd probably have to look at it. I don't think the Vikings think that they are a Super Bowl team. I really don't. Based on the questions they have had up until last week, I think they know their team. So it wouldn't surprise me if Hunter got moved, and I actually think he would be a great get for several teams in the NFL.
Randy, one of the areas you addressed in your five things you'd like to see was the Packers and the need for a slot receiver for Jordan Love. Who are some of the options out there that you would look at? And then a second part to this question, how have you assessed Love so far?
Well, I think not only do the Packers need a slot receiver, they need a veteran receiver. They may have one of the youngest offenses in the league by age. I know they have one of the youngest, if not the youngest, wide receiver room. And they've banked on the fact that these guys would grow and get better. But I think one of the things about being a good GM is you got to be able to pivot, right? And I think everybody knows that hope is not a plan and that they lost a couple of veterans, not only Aaron Rodgers, but Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb. They've lost some leadership in that offensive room. So I thought adding a slot receiver does two things. It helps Jordan Love find a recognizable target sooner in his progressions. And two, it gives that veteran or that rookie room or the young developing wide receiver room somewhat of a guy to look up to. And the guy I thought made the most sense was Hunter Renfrow, who's in Vegas, who's 2 years removed from 100 catch season, who has joined the witness protection program, I guess, because he's not to be found in any stat sheet in any film that I've watched. So he plays very little. In fact, has six catches. So I think there's going to be a little competition for him. I think he will be an option for a lot of teams, but I thought Green Bay could sure use him or another veteran like that who can help drag these young guys who were waiting to develop and maybe good players, but help them along the way.
Randy, there's talks about how Howie Roseman, the general manager for the Eagles, might not be done after acquiring Kevin Byard from the Tennessee Titans. So the Eagles, we know, are going to be buyers over these next 4 or 5 days. Who else should be a buyer, or who else have you been hearing might be looking to buy at the deadline?
Well, I think you've hit on one thing we know for sure is that Howie Roseman is not going to sit on his hands. I think he has done an awesome job in putting together that team and always having his phone lines open and working deals. He can always say no at the end of these conversations, but he finds ways to improve his team where others don't. I think if you don't, as a GM, Femi, look at every aggressive way to make your team better, you're doing a disservice to your guys in your locker room. I think there should be a lot of teams that are beating the bushes. I think any team that's kind of on the edge that needs to give their team a shot in the arm. Now, it's harder for some because they're up against it cap-wise. But a team like New Orleans, a team like New England, these teams are kind of teetering on going either way. They almost have to try to go make a deal, in my opinion. They need some influx of, hey, we need to do better. We're trying everything we can to do upstairs. We understand the injuries have been an issue in some of these places, but we're trying to upgrade as much as we can. And I think the message you send to your locker room and to your coaches as a GM that's aggressive goes a long ways in the NFL nowadays.
Yeah, maybe we'll see what happens. I know Jerry Jones for the Dallas Cowboys, he was asked about if they would go ahead and make a trade and like that. He said, hey, I mean, we're not going to do anything that's super aggressive, but the phone is always open. So we'll see what happens down there in the Dallas. Real quick here, Randy, before we let you go, wanted to ask you about the marquee game of the day, Bengals and the 49ers. We're still uncertain as to whether Brock Purdy is going to be starting. He's still in the concussion protocol, but there's a chance he might be able to clear that by kickoff Sunday afternoon. The Niners are the favorites, 4-point favorites, total 43.5. We got about a minute left. Do you buy into the Bengals being better out of the bye like they were a year ago, or are there some troubling signs that Cincinnati might not be the team we thought they were this summer?
Well, I definitely don't think they're the team we thought they would be. Now, Joe Burrow seems to have been more healthy the last couple weeks, and obviously that's progress. I think they're a little disjointed up front, and that's still a little problematic for me. I think they're walking into a hornet's nest, Femi, in San Francisco. They've lost two in a row. They're going to be downright salty, and I don't think that's a good sign for the Bengals. I like San Francisco to kind of come back and really get after Cincinnati. San Francisco lost tough games by field goals the last 2 weeks. Really, for the most part, way better than the teams that they've played, just haven't come out on the right results. So I don't care who plays quarterback for San Francisco. I really don't. If it's Sam Darnold, so be it. I like the 49ers at home, and I think there's a little bit of a revenge in their mind no matter who they play. I just think the Bengals are going to be one of those teams that kind of sees the result of how good San Francisco's defense really is.
Yeah, San Francisco has been awesome at home, especially. They're coming off back-to-back losses. He is Randy Mueller. Check out his work over at The Athletic, the Football GM podcast, former NFL general manager and executive of the year in 2000. Randy, we appreciate the time as always, man. Be well. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's out there. Hornet's nest out there in Santa Clara, Mike Palmer. We'll see. Maybe. I kind of would lean Niners as well in this game here, but we'll break it all down on the other side. To wrap up the show here, this is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets or where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Mike Palm, Femi Abebefe here at the Circa Resort and Casino. It's been a fun show. Thank you to the two guests that we had on the program, Adam Burke in the first hour at 10:45 West Coast time, 1:45 Eastern, the VSiN managing editor. We had him on here to break down college football and the World Series. And also thank you to Randy Mueller, who joined us in the last segment, former NFL general manager, executive of the year in 2000, and now has the Football GM podcast over at The Athletic. Thank you to both Adam and Randy for joining the show here for us here. But let's get into some of these final NFL games that we have before we give out our thoughts on the World Series. And it's one that's near and dear to both of our hearts. You know, I know I'm the resident Cowboy fan here on the show here on the Lombardi Line, but you also root for America's team as well. The Dallas Cowboys are 6-point favorites at home coming off the bye against the Los Angeles Rams, total 45.5. This one feels a little tricky to me here, the Rams and the Cowboys. Sean McVay welcomes in a new child, maybe a little bit of a baby bump here for McVay and his Rams team here on the road in the early slot as a West Coast team against the Dallas Cowboys.
In the McVay era and their trips to Jerry World, they've done well. They've put points on the board against Dallas, and they've done well. They've often been a big dog and have covered the numbers there. I still like Dallas coming off the bye healthy, the Rams off the loss last week. And the problem here is Stafford going to hold up under the pressure? Can this line control Dallas's pass rush? I think there's a good chance that Dallas can get to Stafford and can make this game a blowout. If you told me Dallas won this game by, 2 to 4 points, I'd be pretty surprised.
Yeah,
I think they either win it or McVay goes in there and they put up 30 again and they lose. But I don't see that eventuality. So it's interesting because this is not a teaser game at 6, right? You don't tease to 0.
It's against the law.
If the game, I remember I'm all teased through a 0. In one of our shows, they were calling the FCC. They wanted him off the air. You cannot tease through the 0.
I said, hang him.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus, guys.
but I actually, in this spot, I'm probably going to end up laying 6 with Dallas.
You'll lay 6?
I'll lay 6.
On the injury front, Sarah Barshop, who covers the Rams for ESPN, reported yesterday afternoon that the Rams right tackle Rob Havenstein did not practice with a calf injury. So he was not on the injury report on Wednesday. So it must have been something that popped up Wednesday or maybe at some point during Thursday's practice. So make sure to monitor that here for Friday, because is he a big name offensive tackle? No, but he's one of their better offensive linemen. And if the Rams have to go out there with a backup O-lineman at tackle, we know Micah Parsons on the edge, DeMarcus Lawrence, all those guys. The Cowboys have a number of pass rushers who can get after Matthew Stafford. That could swing this game. And it sounds like, because I know Tyron Smith for the Cowboys, surprise, surprise, he popped up on the injury report. But Jerry Jones, because he gives out the injury news on 105.3 The Fan every single Friday, he said that Tyron Smith should be good to go. He expects him to play. So
they speak with one voice.
It's just Jerry. Jerry's getting out. I mean, most teams, it's the head coach that gives out the injury news. For the Dallas Cowboys, it's the owner, general manager, and president, Jerry Jones, who gives out the injury news. So I think Tyron Smith should be good to go here in this game. But I'm with you with Dallas. And I think this Cowboys team, I think they're a good live betting team. Like their games are good live betting games, because if they're going to win, oftentimes it's, oh, they're going to blow the team out. So you can just continue to lay it. But if you see that the other team is really competitive or is giving them problems, and then maybe that team was a big dog, maybe just keep taking that team on some money line prices to beat Dallas, because they don't really play well from behind. And we've seen that so far this season. We saw that against the Arizona Cardinals in that game where the Cowboys were 11-point favorites. And I'm sure some people at halftime were saying, oh, Dallas is going to come back. It's like,
sure,
they're just going to lose the game,
actually. They just kept live betting them. But they could never get their feet under them, and they couldn't stop the Cardinals. And then Dak was bad in the red zone. And they
the sod father got that game. That's his home turf.
George.
That's his home turf out there in Arizona. The sod father. Just watering that thing into a rink. Before we get out of here and talk some World Series, though, let's give out our pro tip for the day. This one is about teasers. We discussed teasers earlier in the show, but this is shaping up to be a good teaser week here. Plenty of opportunities. Tease through some key numbers. We got some low total games because we know scoring is down, so those numbers even become more valuable.
Yeah, and to your point, looking at, teams that don't win by 2 scores, and you're able to get a team up over 8 and through 3 and 7 as you look at the Packers, or you look at all these teams that you can get down underneath a field goal. It sets up for those when you're not comfortable laying that number that's north of a touchdown.
Last game I actually want to talk to you about here. I lied. One more game before we get to the World Series.
Oh.
Texans-Panthers. Interesting game. Both teams coming off of the bye. We know Carolina made the change at offensive coordinator, not offensive coordinator, but at play caller. It'll be their offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, now calling the plays, not Frank Reich. Any bullishness here on the Panthers with a new play caller here coming off the bye?
I just don't think they're very good. And I think the kid is too short. I'm sorry to contradict Michael's thoughts on that. There's the motivation here, right? He's going up right against C.J. Stroud. He's had to hear how good C.J. Stroud was. Frank Grant gave him the vote of confidence. This is definitely the guy we wanted. We have no doubt. He's incredible.
We believe you, Frank.
He's doing that. It's interesting here because I think Houston could be a playoff team. I respect the way they play. I think he's a very good coach, Ryan's. I really do. They don't turn the ball over. They make you beat them. I don't think Carolina's good enough to go beat them. And Houston makes you go and earn it against them. Do I really want to lay 3.5 with this team on the road? No, I don't. No. But if you told me, you know, I had to put this in a, you know, the pick 15 games, one of those things, I would feel pretty confident Texas will win this game.
You go Texas, yeah, laying 3.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a stay away from me. I'm not betting the game, but I think it's an interesting game, though. Top two picks from the draft. We've seen these guys play in college football, I believe, against each other with Bama and Ohio State. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting game, but no play for me. All right, let's talk some World Series here. We've waited long enough.
I'm going to interrupt you one second. Oh, okay. I just want to give the college football plays I have. I already mentioned Wisconsin team total under 14.5 and Arizona State plus 5.5. Alluded to, I took Arizona plus the points at home as well this week, and I think both those Arizona schools win at home. One other game, Auburn, Mississippi State, under 41. That's my college place this week.
Right. No Bo Nix ticket for you?
Yeah.
Maybe a little?
Maybe I get a little 20-1 on Bo Nix.
Shop around.
Yeah.
That's always a pro tip here at Visa.
That total down 15 points to 47, by the way. Incredible movement there, Rice Eccles.
It's a raucous place to play. let's get to the World Series. Rangers on the series price, minus 170. Diamondbacks plus 145. Before you get to game one, like, what do you think of this series overall? Like, we had Adam Burkhan in the first hour. He's kept fading the Diamondbacks. It hasn't worked out clearly here up until this point. Do you think the Diamondbacks can pull off another upset?
Well, Fod makes them a much different team. I agree that, Texas has the better offense, the more consistent offense, but Arizona's hit up and down the lineup, and they get the runners on at the bottom of the lineup. I love the kid, Carroll. He's so exciting.
Carroll's awesome.
And they're so good stealing bases. The lost start of the game, right? I mean, they're stealing over 80%. They did it earlier in the year. They kind of got away from it early in the playoffs. They took big advantage of Philadelphia, especially in the last four games of doing that. I wouldn't bet Gallen in game one against Eovaldi. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pass on game one and then try to come back with the Diamondbacks north of $2 to win the series after losing game one. That's going to be my philosophy.
All right. So maybe Rangers take game one and then buy in with the Arizona there. Because I mean, are we getting Merrill Kelly for game two?
Game two, Merrill Kelly. Fod for game three. Or Puffod, as they say in some parts of Reno.
There you go.
He did. Stephenson told me it's Puffod. And he pitched the Reno Aces. He pitched. Oh, I love him. I haven't seen him for like a month. He hasn't been on the Thursdays. But I said, oh, I don't want to embarrass him. I was saying Fod. So then for 6 weeks, I was talking about Puffod. And then in every national broadcast, they're saying Fod. I can't win.
Well, now he's a superstar. I think we know it's Fod.
Yeah, they fix it now that he's a superstar. You got to make it reasonable.
They do. So game one, you think Texas takes this one for game one? Would you bet the price here right now? Because I'm looking at the odds. The best price you can find is minus 150.
No, I'm not interested.
On Eovaldi.
I'm not interested. Not interested. Usually in baseball, I'm not interested in lanes. So if I had to bet the series right now, I would bet you can find 150 in the market on the diamond bet. I just think the price is wrong. I make this about a 140 for Texas as a favorite in this series. So you have to respect what Arizona's done, and the bullpen has been incredible.
How many games do you think we get here?
I think six or seven.
You think six or seven?
I really do.
Okay. Because there's some serious correct scores that you can bet. Whether you like one of the sets, I mean, Rangers in six is plus 390 at DraftKings. Rangers in seven is 4-1. If you like the Diamondbacks in seven, that's 6-1. Diamondbacks in six plus 650. You think this is a long series? Maybe you can. I mean, who's to say? Maybe bet Rangers in seven, Diamondbacks in seven, and kind of.
Or you can find will it go seven? I mean, I'm sure they have that prop somewhere in them. I said that the ALCS would go seven, and I was right. It's just the wrong team for me won it.
That is true. Over 5.5 games
minus
170.
Pretty big price.
At DraftKings. Over 6.5 plus 195.
All right, so there's your will it go seven. Will 2-1 you can.
Yeah, that's a solid price there.
Pritch, we'll phone see. Home.
Pritch will be back with us next week. Happy birthday to Pritch. But for Mike Palm, for our producer Elliot Bowman, for the entire crew behind the glass, I'm Femi Benfei saying all the best of luck with the bets this weekend. And we will see you guys later. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.